2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22. Nope. Sorry, 1 Corinthians. If you find 2 Corinthians 9:22, throw your Bible out. And Paul says this: to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this do I for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. An intentional life is what we need. A life desiring to seek and to follow the Lord. We see his description. I have become this kind of person. I have become that kind of person. Not that we have tried to fit in society, because remember, we do not conform, but we allow ourselves to be transformed. And we ask God every day for the strength, for the wisdom, and the ability to walk closer with him and to be better and to help people better. That is what we do. We get better. We don't conform to this world, but we cannot deny that there are things about us that connect us to our lost brothers and sisters. We share in the same struggles. We share in the same heartache and trouble. So therefore, what we do is we commiserate with them. Oh man, you don't understand, I'm having this issue in the home. You don't understand, I'm having this issue with my private life. You know, I'm addicted to this. I got this going on. I got that going on. And you sit there and you go, well, that sounds familiar. That's exactly what my life was like. That sounds familiar. I've had that struggle before. I know exactly what you're talking about. When you sit there and you say you'd hate yourself for doing it, but you do it anyway, I'm with you. I get that. Let me tell you how God has helped me in those times. Let me tell you what the Lord has done. It is not our job to keep up with mankind. Our lives are to be in Christ, and very much that's what Paul never stopped saying. What we do as a reflection of Christ, and we do for Christ. And many people, that is their excitement, that is their joy, that the world would applaud what they do, that the world would call us one of the easier to deal with Christians, in that we don't preach and that we don't harp and that we stay unaffected, right? Where we can be in the workplace and you don't get mad when we tell these jokes, and you're in the workplace and, oh, you don't get mad when we laugh about this or talk about this, and you'll even come out and drink a beer with us. We don't want to be that Christian who longs for the praise of earthly-minded people or carnally-minded people. But we cannot deny that there's a likeness there, and we want to show them, hey, the way I came out, you can come out too. What we are about in our lives is a mission of mercy, not conformity. We do not long for their applause nor their liking. And sure, it is good to be liked, and we would never want to be grating on purpose. Somebody told me one time the easiest way to irritate people is to stand in the elevator the wrong way. Think about that. You're in the elevator. I walk into the elevator. I got my Bible, and I'm right there by the door. And instead of turning around and facing the door, I just stare at you. Maybe not even at you. I just stare at the back. Wouldn't that make you uncomfortable? I've known some people, they say awful things. They're combative just because they love to get rises out of people. And I think to some extent some of us are kind of like that. We'll say something just to grab somebody by the, grab the cat by the tail, so to say. We like to stir things up a little bit, but man, it is not our job to go out there and either make people feel abused or make people love us. It is our job to rescue them. It is our job to point them to the one who ultimately will mean everything to them. We cannot be conformed to this world. We're no longer that person. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that what God has given me is better than what I had before. Even as a young man, I knew where I was headed. I could see what many of my cousins had done. I could see the things that were grabbing a hold of me, that were tempting me. I could sit there, look at, many people say, I don't know where I would be without the Lord. I've got a pretty good idea. I could look to see where everybody else who was just like me came out and what they did. And I could see exactly what those decisions I know I would have made led them to. And I am glad that God saved me from myself. Even among the people I was with, I was the one who did everything to 10. You know, I've got a brother. He'll do something to 7. I cannot be outdone. I'm the older brother. I did it to 10. The difference was I was good at not getting caught. That's the difference. And the Lord saved me. And I sat there and I took my mindset from that day. And I've done this so often as an adult. And I just pushed it forward. What would that mindset have gotten me when I was in high school? What would that mindset have gotten me when I started working full time and I had more money to dedicate to ridiculous things? Somebody asked me one time, well, if it wasn't for religion, would you drink anyway? I go, look at me, you could tell what I do with food. What makes you think I'm going to handle drink? It's a serious question. You could tell that about yourself. If this is where I am now, these are the things I struggle with today. You take the Lord out of my life, I know exactly what I'd be rushing to. I know exactly what I'd move over to. We can't be conformed to that. We're different now. And as a matter of fact, it would only bring us shame, regret, and pain. And we know it. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you see what your sin has done to your life, once you see what it has costed Christ to pay for that sin, you can't unsee it. You'll never be that way again. Oh, you can try to act that way, but you'll never be that way again. And you can't help people in the fire if you refuse to get out of the fire. Man, when I was a kid, we used to have firefighters come to our school. Wasn't that fun? I don't know if your school lets you have firefighters. We had firefighters in our school. And the firefighters would tell us what to do and how to do it. And it was so exciting. And the firefighter said, well, this is what will happen. I will put on my special boots. And he puts on his special boots. And I'll put on my special coat. And he puts on his special coat. And I'll put on my breathing apparatus. And we go, ooh. And we all got to play with that a little bit. That was fun. And I put on my hat and I come into the fire. And I say, where are you here? And you say, I'm right here. And I pick you up and I take you out of the fire. Not one time in all the years in public education did a firefighter ever tell me, I will come into the fire with you and we'll hang out. I'll come into the fire with you, take my helmet off, take my mask off, and we can play a game of Monopoly. What did he say? I will come into the fire and I will pull you out. Folks, we live in this world. We live among this world, but we're no longer of this world. What is the purpose of our doctrine that people will find grace? What is the purpose of a church, the function of a church that people may find grace? That we may shine the light of the Lord into every area. That our service to Him would be optimal. And you can't do it with a dirty lens. You can't do it when you refuse to shine differently. You can't do it when you fit in. We are to be all things to all men, as Paul described here, but we are not to be those men and women. We are not to condone nor reflect their sin. Oh, there's so many churches out there. Well, why does the pastor got ripped up jeans? Well, we want people with ripped up jeans to feel comfortable there. Have you ever had ripped up jeans? And you went to a place where they had ripped up jeans and you go, these are my people. To me, it's the same as saying I wear a blue shirt. I go into a church, the pastor's got a blue shirt, and I go, finally, somebody who understands me. It's a lie. Well, why do you cuss, swear, and drink? Well, I want the world to know that we Christians are relevant. Well, tell your liver, your lungs, and your whatever, too. Tell the people who can't stand to have a conversation with you because of all the words you drop there. Go ahead. Tell them how relevant you are. Now, we are among them, but we're no longer of them. We're supposed to be the escape, the ones that show people to the door that the Lord is. Is that not what he said? I am the door. We're not supposed to wow people. We've seen that so often in churches out there. Well, here's what we need to do. We need to strip out this paneling, and we need to get an interior decorator in here. Right, we don't have a painting of a crick in our baptistry, because that'd be the first thing to go, right? And here's what we need. We need people to research what kind of flowers to hang. We need people to research what the upholstery on our speakers should be. These instruments are antiquated. Let's get rid of them and let's find different instruments. It is no longer about what we're saying to the Lord and all about what appeals to the flesh of man. So let's dumb down the lyrics. Let's say them seven times over to a very sweet guitar solo. Let's make it appeal to man. Well, our service isn't to man, it's to God. We could do that. How much does a bicycle cost? A brand new bicycle? $100. We could do that. Couldn't we? We could do $100 for a bicycle. And just give out a bunch of kids' bicycles. We could do that. You know what we could do? We got the money in the bank. We could buy a big old bus. And we could tell these kids, hey, listen, you come. We'll load you up with candy. There's a raffle we're giving away for bicycles for attendance. And then there's another raffle if you bring in people. So if you bring somebody, you get entered into that bicycle raffle. And if you come, you get entered into that bicycle raffle. And we'll just be giving them out $100. We could make that. No one would even notice $100 missing like that. And that would make everybody love us. And we could go down and to the hospital and we could say, hey, listen, give us the names of five people with outstanding medical debt to you. And we could pay it off. And wouldn't that be wonderful? And we could have bounce houses and bake sales, and we could just fill that parking lot, and we can have spaghetti dinners, and we could do all of that just to wow people. And you know what might happen? Nothing. Because wowing people isn't the point. What is the point? Pleasing the Lord. Now, I ain't against a bounce house. I ain't against kids riding bicycles. I ain't against any of that stuff. My point is this, is that our evangelism, our service to the Lord can never be about wowing man. I could just roll my sleeves up with tattoos just so I'll fit in, just so I'll look edgy. But I ain't going to do a thing to help me serve the Lord. I ain't going to do a thing. But we see modern Christianity turning to these tactics. It is not ours to wow the people. We are among them. We are to be able to relate to them. But our goal should never be to have them relate to us. Let me be a sinner. Let me live a sinful lifestyle in front of them. That'll fix it. It won't. What people want when they come to the Lord is an escape from what they have. Not more of it. Not more of it. what we see revealed in Paul in this missive here to verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. We need to be heavenly minded. We need to consider the future in heaven as much as we would consider our future down here. When you grocery shop, what do you grocery shop for? A week, maybe 2 weeks. Some of you get crazy. You got lots of storage. You go out, you shop for a month maybe. You plan. Many of you, you're retired. Why? Because while you were working, you decided there would come a day you didn't want to do that no more. So you saved everything up, you squirreled things away, you invested one way or the other, so when you retired, you could retire. We need to plan for our retirement into heaven. There's coming a day when we stand before the Lord, and that is the day we ought to be working for. And I tell you what, I have served the Lord and been active in giving the gospel while I had a full-time job, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, didn't matter. I gave the gospel and it didn't take away from it at all. And now here I am as the pastor with time on my hands. It should not affect our service. Because wherever I am, I'm a child of God. Wherever I am, I'm running. And we ought to be. I am running this Christian race wherever I go. And I want to serve Him. And I want to reflect Him. And I want to be doing my duty wherever I go. It says, when we run, what do we run? How do we run? We run all. We run all. If I were to go and let's say we're all going to go downtown and we're going to run a 5K race. That's 3-point-whatever miles. And we're all getting ready to go and we all put the labor in and we all put the work in. And the person says, go! And we all go and everyone's excited and everybody's happy. And we get about, oh, I don't know, maybe a mile into the thing and we start passing a Taco Bell. And you just saw me veering off to it. That's not running all, is it? That's running some. If I got through it and you saw me walking or you saw me on a bicycle, you would not say that I had run all. You would say I had run some. Uh-oh. So I have 42 minutes. No, I have 38 minutes. If I must run, I must run all. If I must run, I must run all. There can be no distractions. I can still have my passions, my joys, my hobbies, but I must run all. I absolutely hate the notion, well, if I serve the Lord, it's going to take away all my time. No, it won't. No, it won't. Maybe while you're out there on the golf course, maybe while you're over there getting your hair done, maybe while you're shopping, maybe while you're on vacation, maybe while you got your feet up somewhere, maybe while you're in a bookstore, a coffee shop with your feet up, just relaxing, maybe that is exactly where you need to be. Oh, that we would have a passion to run all. Because I'll tell you this, man's approval will fail. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Folks, promotions at work, they are corruptible crowns. I tell you what, I had a lot of promotions in the last 2 years of working where I was working. Really climbed that ladder pretty good in the last couple of years. It ain't doing me any good right now. Anybody here? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but when you were working, you got a promotion? That was wonderful, isn't it? Do they still call you by that title? They don't call you at all, do they? Now, it's good when you're making money. It's good when you're providing for your family. But what is it? It's corruptible. Go ahead and win $1 million. See how long it lasts in this economy. It is a corruptible crown. And if you're waiting for people to love you, I tell you what, if they love you today, give them time. It'll change tomorrow. You don't believe me? Just look at our cancel culture today. Man, they're always trying to get rid of each other. Sacrificing each other for views and clicks and popularity. Oh no. These things, they'll pass away. But I'll live in eternity for what happened here. The rewards I can give to my Lord. The things that I can know I did for Him when I look Him in the eye. Those things are eternal. It is the heavenly things we must prioritize. And I'll say again, just because you prioritize heavenly things, it doesn't make the rest of your life a drudgery. Go pursue that career. Go get that job. Go to college. Have fun. Do whatever. But keep the Lord as your priority. Keep Him as a priority. He won't fail you. Keep Him as a priority. He'll fill your life with the joy you're trying to trade things for. Keep Him as a priority, and He will bless the work of your hands. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We're not playing here, at least we shouldn't be playing. If you don't know, you better know. I liken this here as one that beateth the air. Could you imagine? I'm not one for boxing or fighting or anything like that. These blood sports out there, I'm not a big fan of them. But if you were to tell me that tonight, instead of a storm coming our way, I would have to get into the ring with a famous boxer, the best I could do is play. I have no idea what I'm doing. It'd be a joke. It wouldn't even be worth televising. It would just be a strong man beating up an old fat guy. It wouldn't do anything. No one would take any joy in it. These things that we fight here on earth, we ought to know what we're doing. We ought to know what we're doing in our daily deportment. We ought to know what we're doing when it comes down to giving the gospel. We ought to know what we're doing as a church member. And we ought to take these things seriously. Races should be taken seriously. Fighting should be taken seriously. This spiritual war that we're in should be taken seriously. Because it is serious. And there are serious consequences when we don't. So what does he say in verse 27? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I got a list in my mind of men who preached to me and challenged me. One of them threatened to beat me up. He did that. I was a young preacher, just called to preach. I wasn't nothing, man. I still ain't much, but I wasn't nothing then. Big old man, almost 7 foot tall. He got his foot caught in a lawnmower or something. He had a boot on his foot because he had it all bandaged, had to have something sewn back on. And he said, if I ever found out you quit the ministry, said it from the pulpit right there at Flat Rock. Wasn't Brother Hugan. It was a visiting pastor. If I ever find out you got out of the ministry, when this boot heals, I will kick your tail. Said it right from the pulpit. Built a great big old church. Huge building. Hundreds of people. Had an affair on his wife. Got run out of ministry. And instead of doing what he taught me, and that when you have an affair on your wife, you get out of ministry, he decided that what he would do is head on over to the Philippines and go preach over there where the gossip hadn't hit him. And he hid over there for years. And every now and then I catch him putting his toes back in the water at a pulpit somewhere, knowing full well that what he taught me isn't what he's doing. I just thought that was weird. Now here's the thing, I want to fly straight, not to prove him wrong. I want to fly straight because he proved a point. Any of us could do that. Any of us could fail in many of 100 ways. We need to take these things seriously. Because one day it'll be us. If we don't take our walk with God, if we don't take evangelism seriously, it'll be us. with the vacant and dusty and cobweb-filled building. If it is not, if we are not careful, if we do not serve the Lord, it will be us with the lame testimony of having quit because something shiny was dangled in front of us. I grew up with a lot of people my age who came up, and when the world offered them money to quit church on Sunday morning, they took it. That when somebody said, hey, listen, we're going out drinking, they said, well, I could go to church and feel bad about drinking, or I could just quit and go hang out with them. And that's the life they chose. We even had one person had a terrible home life. Some of the church members had even taken them in and took care of them and paid bills for them and got them to the doctor and just did wonderful things for them. And then finally one day they came into the church and they said, you know what, I'd like to see what living in the world is like for a while. And they split. I don't want that to be me. It could be me. I would love, you're the pastor. I've seen pastors do terrible things. Well, I've been a member for 50, 60, whatever number of years. That's the right size for some men and women. We must be serious about what we're doing. And if we ever take our hands off the work that we should be doing, we can only expect disaster as the response. If you bring fire into your home, you need to expect a fire. If we bring bugs into our home, you need to expect an infestation. So instead, what do? We clean ourselves up. We stay about the Father's business in this evangelism. And we forget how to quit. We have to forget how to quit. Say, Lord, I'll follow you. When I don't wanna, when the world beckons me with tasty treats and prizes, money, when the work seems hard, when it's uncomfortable, Lord, I will bring my body under subjection, as Paul said, and I will serve you anyway. We need that level of personal discipline, spiritual discipline, because what we're doing matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the time.